Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to first of all bring you greetings from the people of Holy Trinity in Thousand Oaks, California, who are just entering into their last service of the morning at this moment in time. And so we are linked together as God's people, the body of Christ, whether we're in Seattle or Thousand Oaks. The church I serve is also right next to the campus of California Lutheran University and the chair of the convocation and a member of the Board of Regents. So I bring you greetings from a sister institution, California Lutheran University, and on the part of President Kimball. We look forward to working with Region 1 more as we look at a merger with Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary. And so there will be more about Cal Lutheran in this region when you hear about that. And then I want to thank Pastor Bacchus for his generosity and his invitation, not only for this baptism, but 2 years ago for Clara's baptism as well. It is just a thrill for a grandpa to participate and be part of this. And to you, the people of Queen Anne, for offering this opportunity to speak with you this morning about the gospel. My heart is kind of overflowing with emotion, and my kids will tell you that I can get off track when that happens, so bear with me. I also want to thank you as a congregation for what Pastor Bacchus was talking about when we moved from the font here, that you are a community of faith. And I'll get into that in just a little bit, but it's important that you exist for Lucy, for Clara, for her parents. You have provided a place of nurture for my family, and I thank you for that. At the end of the chapter that we just read from John 20, the disciple John writes, "Now, I could have written a whole lot of other things about Jesus." That's partly my paraphrase, but I could have written a whole lot more things about Jesus. "But I wrote these things. I wrote these things that you might have life and have it in abundance." In the 10th chapter of John, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I came that you might have life and have it in abundance." In the 14th chapter, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." When we bring a child into the world, we talk about life. What is that life going to look like? Well, let's look at the gospel today and maybe get a clue of some of what that might look like. You've all heard the story. It's every year, the Sunday after Easter. It's not just Low Sunday, but it's Doubting Thomas Sunday. His mother didn't name him Doubting. We did afterwards. The story got him his nickname, Doubting Thomas, the lovable skeptic, the one who had to see and yet believe, and the one who is a lot like us. Show me. Living in a scientific age, what's our hypothesis here? What is our experiments? How did we know that Jesus really rose from the dead? Can we trust these witnesses? Were they just hallucinating? We're told that a lot of the male disciples of Jesus headed out of town, went into hiding. We don't know where Thomas was, but that first night, that first Easter night when Jesus came to the disciples and he was there with them in that upper room and he breathed on them the Holy Spirit and gave them a mission, as I send you into the world as I have been sent. Thomas wasn't there. We don't know where he was. My guess is he was hiding someplace. Finally, he hooked up with the disciples, and they said, "Hey, guess what we saw? We saw Jesus." He said, "Right. Right. Unless I touch the hole in his side and his hands, I won't believe." So, next week, 1 week later, that's where we are right now. 1 week later, Thomas is there. Jesus appears again, and he has a little fun with Thomas. As I read that, I think of Jesus sort of playing with Thomas. "Hey, Thomas, look. Look." And then Jesus says something just terribly, terribly important that all of us need to hear. Do you believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's us. That's the generations to come. And yet, in a way, we do see the risen Jesus. It's just, you have to know how to look and where to look and when to look. See, Jesus is risen and he comes to us, but he comes to us in ways that we have to look at through the eyes of faith. The first way is what Pastor Back has talked about, the communion of saints, the body of Christ. You are going to be the face of God, the face of the risen Lord to Lucy and to Clara and to her parents and to each of you. We see the risen Lord in the body of Christ here on earth. We see the risen Lord, Paul says, as the body functions and the spirit that we prayed for Lucy today works in her life and in your life. We see it in the neighbor. Luther said, if you want to see Jesus, look at your neighbor. There is a little Christ in the eyes of your neighbor. And so you see the risen Lord in this neighborhood that you're ministering to and beyond the walls of this place. You see the Lord in creation and the newness. I have to tell you, it's 73 today in Los Angeles, but I checked that this morning in the paper. But there's so much new growth and new flowers. My son and daughter-in-law live in Magnolia, and the magnolia tree outside the window is blooming. And if you can't see the risen Lord in new life of creation, you need to look again. You need to understand it's not just some sort of accident, but it's a gift from God, this newness of spring. We see it in changed lives. We see it in lives that have turned around, lives that go in a different direction. See the risen Lord present. So I ask you today, how do you tell others about this risen Lord? Are you like those disciples who said to Thomas, we have seen the Lord? Or are you like some Lutherans I know who sometimes say, hey, you know, we've seen the Lord. Just don't tell too many people. I'm sort of making fun of myself, too. That point. But it's good news, my friends. And even though we're removed from it a few centuries, it is a story that keeps living in our midst. And it has to do with, as I have been sent, I send you. I breathe on you the Spirit of God, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of joy and the fear of the Lord. I breathe that upon you in your baptism. And that's what you take into the world. And so we need to be excited about this. We need to help Lucy and her older sister Clara and her cousin Karsten and anyone we can think of to know this story. Because, you see, we were told this story by someone. You're here because someone told you this story. It's the rare person that learns this just on their own. Sometimes it happens, but most of the time it's because someone told us the story, and it's usually parents or grandparents and the community of faith. Lucy and Clara and others will know the risen Christ because you have touched them. And you are the ones who help to bring life in abundance. And so, when I think about this, and I think about congregations like the one I serve that's 53 years old, and I think about places like this that were here when I was visiting my grandparents in the Fremont District, and they went to Denny Park Lutheran, and I think of how this works. Generation after generation, and how we commit ourselves to each other, and how we teach through our hugs and our affection and our discipline and our teaching through Sunday school and other ways. We become a Bible for these little kids until they read for themselves. And then beware, because they start comparing our Bible to their Bible. And there are times when my own children have said to me, "Dad, that's not the Bible you taught us." And that's part of living in the community of faith, being able to say that to one another. "Dad, that's not the Bible you taught us. It's the Bible I'm reading now, but it's not the Bible you taught us." And we have to get back on the same page. And we do that because God says you don't do this in isolation or as an individual, but you do it in community. And that's what brings the abundant life. And all this we do through the power of the Spirit that Jesus breathed on the church that first Easter day. And so I say to you, this is a wonderful day for me. And it ought to be a wonderful day for all of us. Because Lucy is the newest member of our family, of God's family. And we gather and we celebrate. On the second Sunday of Easter, we continue the celebration. And by water and the Spirit, Lucy, you truly belong to God. You are the light of the world. Jesus was the light of the world, but he said in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world. You should let your light so shine before others that they may see your Father who is in heaven." May God grant us that kind of baptism, that we would let our light so shine. And may God bless Lucy today and her family. Amen.